When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pocket.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome to The Tim Meisberg Show. Tim is off again today. We'll be returning on Monday. It's Paul Santos filling in. Thank you very much for the opportunity to chat with you today between 6 and 9 a.m. Always enjoy it very much here at WBSM, as you know, 1420 a.m., 99.5 FM. And we've got a lot to chat about this morning as we wind down the work week. What a beautiful day it's going to be today. Did you hear that weather forecast? 58 degrees right now in downtown New Bedford. And it is going to be up in the upper 70s today. I love, love, love the late summer weather. The late summer weather and the fall weather, you just can't beat it. You don't have the freezing cold of January and February, but you don't have that sticky, hot, and humidity that we get sometimes in July, right? And I love July. July is my favorite month. That's my birthday month, of course. I'm a Leo. And it's always great. It's always in the 80s. It's always sunshine. It's always get outside, right? All that stuff, but you get into that August and September, that upper 70s, no humidity, a little chilly at night in the 50s. Oh, you got to love it. And that's what we're going to have today, starting out in the upper 50s, but then we're going to hit the upper 70s before it's all said and done later today. So hopefully a great day. Hopefully you had a great week. You wrapped up the work week and you're heading into the weekend, which is looking pretty good as well. So we've got a lot to chat about here this morning. Generally like to talk about local issues, and we will do that too, but obviously, the Democratic National Convention just winding down over the last few days. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. I actually stayed up and watched it last night, even though I knew I had to get up early this morning. But that's because I fell asleep in the afternoon. And so I ended up getting my mojo going, and I feel good. I don't feel tired at all. I could actually get used to this shift. It's not bad. At first, I was thinking, wow, you got to get up and get going at 4:30 a.m. just to kind of touch base with what's going on. But once you do it a couple of times, I know a lot of folks out there do it all the time, so I don't want to complain at all about that. So it's fine. It's, you get into the groove of doing that, and it's no problem at all. But the convention just ended. A lot of interesting speeches. I do have to say something, though, and I know I got my conservative folks out there. I don't know where the liberals are at. It seems like the liberals call more when I'm not on. So I'm hoping to get some balanced approach this morning, but looking at some of the speeches there, and I thought there were some good speeches. Now, you may disagree with them or you may agree with them, but just the presentation, just the enthusiasm, just the excitement coming from the Democratic Party. I mean, the Obamas, they can speak. I mean, Obama, he has that quality that he has, that charisma. Now, from the conservative side, Ronald Reagan was the great communicator, right? He had it. He had that it factor. Well, you hear Obama speak. He's so smooth. He's so eloquent. Highly educated man, speaks so eloquently and smoothly. And I thought Michelle made a nice speech, and Tim Walz made a nice speech, and Kamala last night, I think, also made a very nice speech on behalf of the Democrats. So what do you think about that? I do have to say that I like hearing, you know, somebody like Obama, who was a classy family man. He's actually living the life that the Christian conservatives admire, but somehow give a pass through the person on their side. And then I was chuckling a little bit because now we're hearing that Robert Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., who is a little bit of a loose cannon, he is saying that he may drop out of the race. And Former President Donald Trump said that he would be open to Robert F. Kennedy playing a role in his administration if he drops out of the race. I like him and I respect him. He's a brilliant guy. This is Trump speaking now. He's a brilliant guy. He's a very smart guy. I've known him for a very long time. And I didn't know he was thinking about getting out. But if he is thinking about getting out, I'd certainly be open to it. Except this is slightly different than what he said before. He said that Robert F. Kennedy, his independent candidacy, was a wasted protest vote. And that he'd even take Biden over RFK. He would take Biden over RFK. Right? And then he said RFK Jr. is a Democrat plant. A radical left liberal who's been put in place in order to help crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, get reelected. A vote for Jr. would be a wasted protest vote that could swing either way, but would only swing against the Democrats if Republicans knew the true story about him. Jr. is totally anti-gun, an extreme environmentalist who makes the green new scammers look conservatives, a big-time taxer, an open border advocate, an anti-military vet. That's what he said about him before. So now there's a possibility that RFK might endorse him, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's a great guy. That's fine. I respect him. I like him. Wait a minute. What happened to he was the worst Democratic plant, and that he had all these extreme policies, and that you would even take Joe Biden over him? That's how bad he is. He's so bad that you would take RFK Jr. over the worst president in history, according to you. And now it's like, oh, I like him, I respect him. And so in other words, as soon as you get the support, then all of a sudden you completely flip the other way. So that's the kind of stuff that I think, that's in the rearview mirror. It's time to move on to something else. Why the Republicans didn't put up somebody like DeSantis, a classy family man who actually lives the life of a Christian conservative, married, raising the two young children. Whether you agree with him or not, I heard him speak during the primaries. I'm like, wow, this guy's sharp. Whether I agree with most of his policies or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just talking about, as an observer. But no, we get Crooked Joe as Lion Ted, all that kindergarten and first grade name calling. Why do we have to go back to that? I think we're tired of it. I think it's time to move on to something else. And by the way, the idea that, Kamala Harris is getting support from all these radicals, I can tell you right now, people have heard me say, I am a moderate Democrat. I'm not a leftist. I'm not an extreme, a fringe person. I definitely am down the middle. I voted for and liked very much the governor, the Republican governor, Charlie Baker. I was actually a Reagan Democrat. And actually, I'm watching the convention last night, the Democratic National Convention. There were times during that Kamala Harris speech that she sounded like Ronald Reagan. She talked about how we should have the best military in the world and that a threat to democracy anywhere is a threat to democracy everywhere. That's what Ronald Reagan used to say. Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire. And Donald Trump said, they can do whatever the hell they want. So in some respects, some of the things that were being argued by Kamala Harris sounded a lot like President Reagan, who I voted for, by the way. So it was just interesting to hear and to see the patriotism and, a lot of the things that were being said were actually things that would appeal to conservatives, that we would have the strongest military, that we would stand up for democracy around the world, that we would support NATO. So why don't we just get back to the basics here? And by the way, do we have to do the name calling? It was kind of funny, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on national politics, but given the fact that this convention just ended and the previous convention ended and we got some debates coming up, the thing that's interesting about what's been happening here is that, if the other guy does it, then we pound on the other guy. But if my guy does it, then I make excuses for my guy. And so we really need to stop with that. President Obama made a little joke about how Donald Trump has this obsession with crowd size, and then he put his hands up. And you really had to read between the lines what he was saying there. And then the response by President Trump was, oh, that was nasty. Oh, that was nasty. That was nasty. I mean, come on, guys. That guy's the king of nasty. Well, there goes Sleepy Joe. Sleepy Joe. Oh, I think I'm going to get interviewed by Josh Stopanopanopoulos. And then he did it to his own side. Oh, there's Governor Sanctimonious. There's Governor Sanctimonious. I mean, Governor DeSantis, whether you like his policies or not, is a very sharp individual. I believe he went to Yale. He was a veteran, family man, doesn't get caught running around with porn stars. He's living the life that the Christian conservatives would like to see. So having DeSantis in there or Marco Rubio or somebody like that probably would have given the Republicans a real good chance to win, and they still could win. Trump could still win. But why not have an eloquent speaker? Why not have somebody that speaks eloquently? That doesn't go, Lion Ted, there goes Lion Ted. And then, of course, Lion Ted, he calls him Lion Ted, says his wife is ugly, then makes a suggestion that Ted Cruz's father may have had something to do with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But yet, Lion Ted comes crawling back and goes and makes a speech at the Republican convention, basically embarrassing himself. Governor DeSantis, when he was running against Trump, not only was he being called names like Governor Sanctimonious and he wouldn't have done anything without me and all that. Yeah, okay, obviously the Trump support helped him quite a bit. But he probably figured, okay, now it's time to move on. I'm going to run for the nomination. There's nothing wrong with that. He has every right to run for the nomination. He then puts a statement out there suggesting that DeSantis was grooming teenagers. There was a picture of DeSantis with like a 15, 16-year-old girl, and he makes a comment that DeSantis might be grooming teenagers. Can you imagine that? Suppose you're DeSantis' wife. I mean, she's a big Trump supporter. This guy is saying that your husband's a pedophile, or at least dropping that down there. So now you're going to go crawling back to this guy? Are you kidding me? That's why you have guys like, you know, Adam Kinzinger and people like that who are very, very politically conservative. And they're like, wait a minute. You guys don't know what this guy's like behind the scenes, you know? You have chiefs of staff. Everybody that worked in that campaign or worked in that White House quit. And then they come out and they say, hey, look, I'm just telling you, I work with this guy. This is what this guy is. And you still don't believe it. So it's too bad because I think Governor DeSantis would have been a good candidate. I think Marco Rubio would have been a good candidate. Nikki Haley, right? Somebody like that. Somebody new, younger. But no, we're going back to that same old thing. And I think that's really hurting the Republicans. Now, I think Trump can still win it. I think there is a certain argument, and I think it's true. There's a such thing. You know, in sports, I was always a sportscaster and a sports announcer. There is a thing such as peaking too early. So I think Trump's campaign may have peaked too early when Biden was in there. Now Kamala, they're saying it's a sugar high that Kamala is getting, right? That could be. I think it's going to, she got a little burr. She's a little bit ahead right now, but I think it's going to go back to dead heat again. And so much can happen between now and November, you know? A lot can happen. But anyway, what'd you think about that? Number two, you might have heard Phil Devitt say, Massachusetts is considered to be the best state in the country to live. Now, come on. We like to make fun of our own state all the time. We like to make fun of Massachusetts all the time. It's this, it's that, it's Taxachusetts. Well, why was it number one? Well, I'm proud to be from Massachusetts, the home of John Adams, who was against slavery 100 years before Abraham Lincoln. Home of the American Revolution. Home of the Underground Railroad. Proud New Bedford with Frederick Douglass and the like. But why is Massachusetts number one? Massachusetts first with gay marriage, by the way. Massachusetts always on the cutting edge. So why is Massachusetts number one? I'll tell you why Massachusetts is number one. Number one in the country in terms of its public education. Number one in the country in health care. Number one in the country in terms of unions and people actually getting pensions. So health, education, pensions, things of the like. I know a lot of my folks that like to go to Florida. I have to go to Florida too in the wintertime because my wife can't stand the weather. And I like to go down there. I don't really mind the weather that much because of the things that I like to do, my broadcasting stuff, my legal stuff. 90% of the fun things I do are indoors. Although I do enjoy it when it's warm outside. But the reason why people go to Florida is because of the weather. They get their Massachusetts health care here. They get their Massachusetts education here. They take their pension here, and then they go to Florida with it. They don't get all that in Florida. They take it from Massachusetts and bring it to Florida. So what about that? Okay, Massachusetts, number one state. Okay, and then I wanted to tell you, I had to get a new car. My car was falling apart, and so I got a new car, another car, not a brand new car, but another car. I wanted to tell you what my first car that I ever had. When I was in high school and I was a teenager, my dad had a car. He bought another car, and instead of trading in the old car, which back then gave you basically nothing on a trade, he passed it down to me, and I drove around this car for about a year, and it was the first car that I ever drove, and I love this car. And I'm going to tell you what that car is, and I want to know what your first car was. What was the first car that you ever had? Was it like, say, a Chevy Nova? Did you ever have like a 57 Chevy? Was it a, I don't know, a Ford Falcon, right? I want to know what your first car was that you had, because I had a car. I'm going to tell you what it was, and I'll give you a hint. It got 7 miles to the gallon. I'm not kidding. It got 7 miles to the gallon. What was your first car? That's the light topic of the morning. Is Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg? You want to talk about any of the stuff I touched upon? Give me a different opinion if you have a different opinion. If you have the same opinion, give me a call on the way to work. I'm at 508-996-0500 here at WBSM. It's Paul for Tim. Good morning. Welcome in. All right, it's Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg on this very nice Friday morning. I like this, coming into work at 58 degrees, sleeping so comfortably. But then a little bit later today, we are talking about closing in on 80 degrees, high 70s. Oh, that is so perfect. I could take this for months and months and months, but unfortunately, we only usually get it the very end of August and into September. And then after that, we know what happens then. It gets colder and colder and colder, and you end up in snow in January and February and all that. So that's what happens. So we just want to enjoy it while we can. The summer is not over. Please don't keep saying the summer is over. I know the people that go back to school say that. But really, summer on the calendar goes all the way to September 22nd, I think it is, or the 23rd. So that's still another month of summer. And late summer, you just can't beat it. You just can't beat the end of the summer and the beginning of fall in terms of the weather. Now, I mentioned before the break, right? I had to get another car. And actually, I got an all-wheel drive car. It's another Chrysler. I had a Chrysler before. I really had some good luck with the Chryslers. But anyway, my very first car, my dad had a car, and then he bought a new car. And he was going to trade in the old car, but then he was like, you know what? I had just gotten my driver's license. It's like, you know what? At that time, it was basically fairly cheap to keep another car on the road. The car wasn't worth a lot. The insurance was cheap. He's like, hey, why don't you take this baby and run it into the ground? So my first car, a 1968 Buick Wildcat. Okay, it was very similar to the Electra 225. This thing was a tank. I don't think it needed all-wheel drive. In fact, I drove that car to New Bedford High School in February of 1978. Okay? Now, if you remember February of 1978, that was when we had the blizzard of 78. And that car, it started snowing. They didn't know the snow was coming. Next thing you know, there was a foot of snow on the ground. I jumped in that car. I had a short drive home. All the kids in the neighborhood all piled into the car. And that tank went right through the snow like it was nothing. And it got 7 miles to the gallon. A 1968 Buick Wildcat. What a tank. And then my brother had a Chevy Nova. And that thing had some juice. You basically put your foot on the gas pedal, and the car would peel out just like that. You know, it was one of those kind of cars. So anyway, we're going to be heading to the newsroom in just a moment. Now, you're going live, are you not, on this one? Okay, just want to make sure. I'm looking into that other studio over there and just get the headlines, and Phil Devitt is getting ready to go. So you're ready to go right now? We're going to turn it over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
It's a wrap on the Democratic National Convention as Kamala Harris accepts the nomination. Trump floating a special guest at today's rally and a new destination for Beatles fans.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris has officially accepted her party's nomination for president. Harris took to the stage Thursday night at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago and touched on a wide variety of topics, formally accepting the nomination.
On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be president of the United States of America.
Leaning heavily into her background as a district attorney and attorney general, Harris said she was used to being underestimated, but that the, quote, future is always worth fighting for. Former President Trump is reacting to that speech Thursday at the DNC.
She's not having success. I'm having success. I'm doing great with the Hispanic voters. I'm doing great with black men. I'm doing great with women because women want safety. They want safety.
On Truth Social, Trump posted in real time during the speech questioning why Harris hadn't already accomplished policy she was promising. He said she's had 3.5 years and has done nothing but harm. Trump later went on Fox News where he claimed Harris didn't talk about crime or how, quote, 70% of our people are living in poverty, a number that the census shows is closer to 12%. Trump campaign teasing a special guest for the former president's rally in Arizona today. There have been reports that independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is dropping out of the race and endorsing Trump. It's been nearly 2 months since Texas Governor Greg Abbott has sent a busload of illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities. A spokesperson for Abbott attributes fewer busloads to fewer illegal border crossings. Spokesperson said illegal crossings are down 85% since the start of the governor's Operation Lone Star Border Security Initiative. Both the U.S. and Canadian economies could be affected by a possible railroad shutdown in Canada. Railway companies Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City locked out about 10,000 Teamsters employees after labor contract negotiations broke down. Canadian Minister of Labor Steve McKinnon and U.S. Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu have been discussing the issue. After winning bronze at the Olympics, Massachusetts' own pommel horse guy will try to win gold on the dance floor. Gymnast Stephen Nedorozhik is the first celebrity announced for season 33 of Dancing with the Stars. The 25-year-old from Worcester became an instant celebrity in Paris, drawing comparisons to Clark Kent when video of him removing his glasses to compete went viral. Next time you're in Liverpool, consider staying at a Beatles Airbnb. Original Beatles drummer Pete Best and his brother converted rooms above the Casbah Coffee Club, where the Beatles reportedly played 40 shows. Each unit is named for one of the five original Beatles, Best, Harrison, Lennon, McCartney, and bassist Stuart Sutcliffe, and runs for $200 a night.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox begin a 7-game homestand tonight, looking for their third win in a row when they host the Arizona Diamondbacks at Fenway. Patriots wrap the preseason Sunday night when they visit the Washington Commanders. And we will, of course, carry that game for you right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Wrapping up the work week with absolutely gorgeous weather out there. Not as chilly as yesterday morning, but temperatures around 60 under mostly sunny skies throughout the day. This afternoon, temperatures climbing to the upper 70s. Mostly clear overnight, 60, upper 70s as we head into Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, the humidity increases to give way to chance for showers. On Monday, from the UBC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
One, two, three, five. Well, she was just 17, and you know what I mean. And the way she looked was way beyond compare. So how could I dance with another? Oh, and I saw her
Phil said that the Beatles were in the news, so I queued up one of my favorite songs. I saw her standing there, and Phil and I were on the same wavelength. We had the same idea. I really liked the early Beatles stuff. In fact, I had a debate with a friend of mine. I was talking about the Beatles, and they were like, oh, no, I like all the psychedelic stuff from later on and all that. And oh, no, I like that sort of like knee-slapping, you know, stuff from the early 60s that you saw like on the Ed Sullivan Show and stuff like that. So that was one of my favorites. Phil and I were definitely having an ESP moment there. 508-996-0500. Give us a call if you have anything to talk about. Again, I like to kind of focus on some local stuff so we can do that. But, you know, the Democratic National Convention coming to an end. And I know politicians like to exercise in hyperbole. But did Donald Trump actually say that 70% of the country lives in poverty? Did he really say that? I mean, come on. Oh, my God. I'm not usually somebody that comes on here and bashes Donald Trump. But why don't we just say it what it is? This guy's a buffoon. 70% of the Americans are living in poverty. I mean, come on. I mean, is it 10% or 12%? I mean, don't say things like that. This is the greatest country that ever existed. And we're living at a time where our standard of living is, we live better than millionaires did 100 years ago. We live 10 times better, maybe 100 times better than millionaire George Washington did. So, you know, we're in the developed world. Even people that are struggling here, and I know people are struggling here. Yes, they are. But to say that 70% of the people are living in poverty, good God. And by the way, just to get back to the murder rate for a second, because this idea that, oh, crime's out of control and there's all these murders and all that. Look. The murder rate in the United States peaked in the early 90s for all the cities. New York City had 2,500 murders in 1 year. And it ended to drop down to 300. Now, Giuliani likes to take a victory lap. Well, that's well and good. And I think he did a good job, actually, quite honestly. But how come the murder rate went down in Houston and St. Louis and Detroit and Los Angeles during the same time? Now, criminologists, of which I'm not one, people actually study this stuff. They actually put the work in. They study this stuff and they make a determination as to why we have these fluctuations in crime. And there was a big, huge influx of people who were in the teenage and early 20 years during that time. And that's where most of the crime is committed, teenagers into early 20s. By the time they get to 30 years old, people aren't committing the crimes as much as they did. Now, I'm just looking at murder in particular because murder is a terrible thing. Somebody dies. It's awful. Here's the murder rate. Peaked in 1993. So it'd be 1 year into Bill Clinton. 24,500 murders. Then the next year went to 23,000, then 21,000, then 19, 18, 17, 16. By the time we get to the end of President Clinton's term, which was around the year 2000, we had the murder rate at its lowest level in many years, down to 15,000. And we actually balanced the budget, too, with Bill Clinton. I know there's those budget hawks that are out there. So then, you know, it kind of fluctuated up and down a little bit. 2003, 2004 went up a little bit. Now, this would have been during the term of George W. Bush. Probably not his fault. Certainly not his fault. 2004, around 17,000. So then Obama comes in 2008 and starts going down again. 16,000, 15,000, 14,000, right? Murders in the United States. So then 2016, Trump comes in. Went up a little bit to 17,000. Went from 17,000 to 18,000. Okay, that's all around the same general category, right? And then 2018, 16,000. 2019, 16,000 again. Historically low murder rate. And then the pandemic hits, 2020. And what happened to the murder rate in 2020? Went from 16,000, where it had been in the teens all that time, starting in around, say, 1998, in the teens. So what happens in 2020 goes from 16,900 to 22,400 in 1 year. The biggest spike in murders in the history of the United States. So then what happened after that? 2021 was still 22,531. That's when Biden came in. And then what's happened in 2022 and 2023? It started to go down again because the pandemic is over. there was a lot of frustration, a lot of people, and there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse that the murder rate should go up just because, you know, we had the pandemic, but it was a very, very difficult time. So was that really the president's fault? I would argue that it's not. But to say that, oh, there's terrible crimes out of control because there's other guys in there, it really has little to do with that. Just because somebody is president when something happens doesn't mean it happened because that person was president. Was it George W. Bush's fault that 9/11 happened? I think 9/11 could have happened when Bill Clinton was president. 9/11 could have happened when Obama was president. 9/11 could have happened when Trump was president. 9/11 could have happened when Biden was president. Can you imagine if 9/11 happened when Joe Biden was president? Can you imagine? They would have said he's half asleep, he's half dead, he's just kind of there. That's what would have been said. But, you know, it wouldn't have been his fault, I don't think. You know, we have intelligence people, we have military people trying to defend against these horrific things. And by the way, when something like that happens, and when it did, we all got behind George W. Bush. We all got behind him, even though we attacked the wrong country. And anybody that said this was a bad idea got shouted down as being anti-patriot. You know who got on the floor of Congress and argued strenuously that this was a bad idea going to Iraq? And this is what Trump says now, that it was a bad idea going into Iraq. Somebody that you dislike, Bernie Sanders, Ted Kennedy, Barney Frank, the entire Massachusetts delegation was like, what are you doing? We can't be going to Iraq. There's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction. And we sent our own young kids to die and to come back with their arms blown off. Even J.D. Vance is saying, I went over there and I discovered, what are we doing? Well, if you had listened to all the people on the left, you would have known that was a mistake. All right, I got a caller on the line. We'll pick that up in just a moment. It's WBSM. It's Paul Santos in for Tim. Back in a moment.
Old man.
In the back of my mind now, so I got to drop a couple of Beatles songs in there. I really liked all that British invasion stuff in the 60s. I was a little kid, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, but it was the Beatles. It was the Dave Clark Five, Herman's Hermits, the Rolling Stones, all of the British invasion groups, the Animals. And they had some great music and really changed the landscape of music at that particular time. It was a great time and really some great music. And, of course, the Beatles, a lot of people consider the Beatles, and rightly so, as the greatest band of all time up to this point. All right, it's 6:46 in the morning, closing in on 60 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today, and we are going to hit possibly 80 or at least the upper 70s. Very comfortable, very nice. And we did have a little bit of a stretch there where it got a little rainy and a little chilly, but now it's coming back and we're feeling some good, comfortable summer weather, and we're glad about that. Okay, I think I got time for a call right here. Good morning, you are on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. The real deal, Joel Davis, calling from New York City.
Hey, the real deal, Joel Davis, how are you?
Doing great, brother. Hey, listen, I wasn't surprised to hear the commercials. Are you right out of New Bedford, Massachusetts?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Yeah, four commercials, and two of them were about the Portuguese sausage, Cerise.
That's right. You got it, my friend. For anybody that's listening this morning, this guy right here is a very, very good, very funny, hilarious comic. Well, I've had the chance to interview on my TV show, so I'm glad to be hearing from you. And you're out in New York, you said.
Yeah, I'm in New York City right now. I'm going to be here for the weekend. I'm coming back in September, Paul. But I've seen your post on Facebook that you're going to be filling in this morning, so just wanted to call and say hello to you. And you always do a great job, and, you know, you're a good friend of mine. So
yes.
I wanted to just call quick. I heard that your subject's about your first vehicle. So my first vehicle was a Pontiac Catalina, big boat.
Oh, I remember those. Oh, my goodness.
1987. So I had a Pontiac Catalina. My Uncle Charlie got me a Pontiac Catalina, and that was a big boat. I learned how to drive in that thing, you know, going up to Boston. And great station here. I just wanted to say hello. I'm in New York City right now. I'm going to be doing some stand-up comedy. I'll be coming back. I'll get some huge news in September next month to announce to everybody. And don't forget, listeners, Paul Santos Live every Monday night in New Bedford at Mickey B's.
Yes.
You know, don't miss that show, 7 o'clock, Paul Santos Live.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
Paul, you're not a bad guy. I don't care what anybody says. Take care,
right,
brother.
All right. Take Bye-bye. Care. Thank you very much. All right, 508-996-0500. Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg here at WBSM. If you're on the line, hang on. I got to take this break, and then we'll be back right here on WBSM. I think my taste in music is slightly different than some of the other hosts on WBSM, so I thought I'd bring my own little flair to the table here. British Invasion, Motown, and then, of course, the dance music of the 80s when I used to be a club DJ. That's right. I was a club DJ when I was in law school. So I had a little bit of experience playing that dance music of the early 80s. Maybe we'll drop some of that in as the morning proceeds. But let's get to the calls. I got two I want to get in before the news. So let's say good morning. You are on WBSM.
Hi, Paul. It's always a pleasure to speak with you when you're filling in for Tim.
Paul, thank you.
I have two things I wanted to say. One was my first car was a pumpkin orange 1977 B210 Datsun hatchback, and it was manual steering. That was my first car.
Wow, manual steering. I suppose the young people probably don't even know about that. You know, power steering was like, power steering was a big thing when it first came out. You actually had to be rolling a little bit before you could turn the wheel.
Yeah, I was young at the time, so it wasn't like it was a hard thing to do. But when you look at it now in retrospect, it's like, oh, manual steering is terrible.
and of course, no air conditioning.
That's right. And the car was terrible in storms, whether it was rain or snow. It would hydroplane or it would spin out because the back end was so light that I would be doing donuts without wanting to do donuts when it was snowing. It was really, really sad.
I did the donuts on purpose.
Oh, yeah. It was a crazy car, but it was a fun car. And definitely, you know, you don't see any of those around anymore today. But my second thing was about the parties. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I used to be Democrat. And then I changed over just recently because over a couple of years now, I've been, like, independent. Like, I'm, like, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. I agree with some things they're Democratic, and I agree with some things.
That's kind of like where I am most of the time, correct?
Right. So I changed over to being independent, mm-hmm. and because I just didn't want to be Democratic anymore. I was kind of, like, upset with, you know, all these people filtering in from the border, and where are we going to put them? How are we going to house them and feed them and clothe them? We've got people in our own backyard that are suffering, you know, including senior citizens, and yet we give everything to all these people, and it goes on and on. It's
now,
not just
who are you
that.
Supporting it's, in this election? Have you decided?
To tell you the truth, I don't know who the lesser of the two evils are because, really, there's a lot of things I don't like about either one of them, so it's kind of hard. I don't know if I even want to vote for either one of them.
You know, it's interesting, right? You know, if you're a moderate, really down the middle, and you agree with the conservatives sometimes, and you agree with the liberals sometimes, you really don't have a party that addresses that. In other words, the two-party system, maybe we ought to take a look at that and, you know, have more of like a non-party election, you know, like they do for the city of New Bedford. You have an election, the top two make the finals, and then you go from there. Let's just forget about this party thing, because I think you're right. I think if you were down the middle, you really don't have a candidate, not really.
Well, I have a theory. I mean, I don't know if this is going to happen because, you know, I'm not like a medium or a psychic or whatever, but if Donald Trump keeps running his mouth like he does and saying the disgusting things that he says half the time, you know, he has no filter, you know, no matter how much planning he has and things that he wants to do for the country and good things, you know, there are a lot more women in this country than there are men. Mm-hmm. And they would like to see a woman president. And I believe that if he makes people really upset like he does, he shoots himself in the foot all the time with his mouth, you know, people are going to go and vote for her. Especially women, because of him, the way he is, and the things that come out of his mouth. You know, I know you don't have to like him and everything, but, you know, like you said, it's foolish to just turn around and just bash people, constantly bashing people. You know, like what does it say about you as a person and your character when you find fault with every little thing that somebody does? Do you not make any mistakes yourself? Are you so perfect that, you know, you can turn around and talk like that? I look at people differently when they do things like that. I'm not happy with that kind of...
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you very much for the call. I got to move on, but thanks a lot for calling, and I appreciate it.
Oh, and have a great day now.
Yes, you too. Thank you. And I agree with that caller. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Paul. Good morning.
Yes. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You got about a minute.
Okay. I'll hit it. I'm going to jump right in. Three-part question, and I'll hang up. So first, do you personally, Paul, believe that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy with all the things that we know?
Well,
January 6th, what happened in Georgia, asking for 11,000 votes, fake electors.
I mean,
you can go down the list.
Yeah, whether you agree with the policies or not, when somebody loses the election and won't admit it, you know, this is the first time in 200 years that anybody ever did that. That's a dangerous thing to say you won when you lost. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, the next question is do you believe that there are more closeted Trump voters or closeted Harris voters?
Maybe Trump, only because, you know, like that last caller said, it's hard to defend a lot of the vile stuff that he says. But I think most people really don't like to talk politics. I got to tell you, I like doing it on the radio. But, you know, when you're at the cookout and stuff like that, I want to talk about the Patriots. I want to talk about other stuff. I don't even talk. Remember, they used to say, don't talk about politics and religion.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.